Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi there. We at CBF Radio would like to thank everyone who has taken the time to do our annual CBF survey. It ensures that we find sponsors that match perfectly to the needs of you, our wonderful listeners. There's still time to do it. Just go to our social media page and the link will be in the description. It only takes a few minutes, but it would mean so much to us. From everyone here at CBF, thank you.
My name is Amy Upright. This is Killjoy. Last time, I introduced you to Joy Ford, a woman from the rural New Zealand town of Sharon's Valley, an idyllic, peaceful, and fragrant town. We retraced Joy's steps on June 15th, 1987. People were there, and they told me what they'd seen. But what really happened that night? Police arrested Gary, her husband, largely on the basis of circumstantial evidence, and also on large volumes of direct evidence that linked him to the murder. But to really understand, we need to know what happened. So this week, we'll be going over the events of the evening of June 15th. Strap in.
She's dead! Joy! Joy's dead!
Great, thank you.
G'day, my name is Raylene Trotter. I've been a member of the police force for about 30 years now, but I'm mainly working part-time. Well, I was working at the police station that night, I'd say around 8 or just after Gary called. He was very upset and it was very hard to hear him.
Why do you think he was upset?
Well, probably because, you know, his wife was dead.
Right. And what did he say?
Well, I'm sure you've heard the tapes. He was in a riot state, shouting, carrying on, mucking about. Well, we dispatched a couple.
Raylene paged the two officers that were on duty that evening, Jimmy Broad and Carl Wynn. Jimmy and Carl are now in their 60s. But they were both reasonably fresh 30-somethings in 1987.
I remember that night well.
It was so horrible. Forgotten most of it.
Tell me what happened.
Well, it must have been about 8:25 when we arrived at the house. Not 8:30 or before 8:20.
Yeah, because the call was at 8:07.
Yeah, 8:07. So, yeah, I'd say 8:25.
I'd agree with 8:25. 8:30 sounds too late to me.
Right. Walk me through what happened.
Well, we approached the house.
Guns drawn?
Police don't carry firearms in New Zealand.
Carl and Jimmy approached the house at 8:25, unarmed, carrying nothing to defend themselves.
It was dark. We stepped onto the patio and I tried the handle.
The door was locked. Like everyone in the town, Gary had left a spare set of keys in the flower pot beside the door. Carl slid the key into the lock.
It was dark. Well, I couldn't find the keyhole.
Jimmy goes back to the patrol car to get a flashlight. He continues to walk toward the car. He returns to the house.
We tried the lock again.
Locked again.
Is that the right key?
Oh, shut up, mate.
Well, it doesn't look like the right key. Doesn't seem to fit. Let me have a go.
Of course it's the right one. Right.
Then Carl tried another key on the chain. he turned the key. This time, the door opens. They were in. What happens next gives the officers a shock.
You learn to sense these things on the job. My first thought was that it smelled of death.
And what does death smell like?
It's a rusty, earthy kind of smell. It's like...
decomposition? What, leaves?
Yeah. It's like a dark pool, the cool air in a basement cellar.
Oh, is it like the sediment at the bottom of an old glass of wine?
Well, the first thing I noticed was that there was blood all over the walls.
Yeah, there was.
Crime scene photos taken the next day show a mess of blood that travels from the front door to the bedroom. The blood is smeared all over the walls and the floor. Gary later claimed that the smearing happened because he repeatedly slipped on the blood. Based on the photographs, it seemed as if Gary discovered his wife's body and, in a state of shock, ran into the hall. Here he slipped over and fell on the floor. He then dragged himself back up onto his feet, and he fell again, and again, and again, and over and over and over. A forensic investigator that examined the scene said at Gary's trial it was possible Gary might have spent anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes crying and thrashing around in his wife's blood in the hallway. This would explain why Gary waited until 8 to call the police when he claims to have arrived home at 7:30. What did Gary find in the bedroom that was so disturbing?
The bedroom was a mess. I'd never seen anything like it. There was this lake of blood on the mattress. Joy didn't deserve to go out like that.
The duo called the station and locked up the house while they waited for backup. Clearly, something had happened to Joy, but her body was nowhere to be found. A search would have to be organized, but the police had only one suspect in mind. Then I had this exchange with Carl as he gave me a lift to my accommodation.
I'd really like to know how you feel about this case, Carl. Do you mind if I ask a few more questions?
Not at all. Do you mind if I put some music on?
Oh, actually, can you not do that? It makes it really hard to
right,
record.
Thanks. Love this song. Far away, Amy.
Yeah, sorry, this is just too loud.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Can you turn the music down, please?
What?
Can you please turn the music down?
What?
Turn the music down.
So it'll be sort of like drum and bass, but it's a little bit on the offbeat.
The music made it impossible to talk. But was it a distraction? What was Carl trying to hide? On the next Kill Joy, a crucial detail in the case. A detail I hadn't seen coming.
What? Killjoy is a Chicago broadcast frequency production presented by Amy Upright. Senior producer Evan Pippett, sound editor Terry Schoenborn. Special thanks to our interns Abraham Schneider, Vincent Stockholm for the score, and Cecilia Jeffries for the graphic design. The executive producer is me, Ezra Snipes.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.